John 13, verses 18 and 19, the words of the Lord Jesus. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. John 13, verses 18 to 19. I am not referring to all of you. Of course, that refers back to verses 10 and 11. Jesus has said, you are all clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he was washing the disciples' feet, he makes this point. You are all clean, he said, though not every one of you. And of course he was exempting Judas. Judas was the one who had been chosen to this discipleship, this apostleship, but he was going to betray Christ. Well, of course, with history, hindsight, we know now this is what happened. But here, Jesus is predicting, making explicit, very clear, that one of these men would betray him. He was going to eat my bread. He was going to sit at the table with me. But he was going to betray me. This is not chosen to salvation. This is chosen to apostleship and to discipleship and service. And Christ is making it clear to the disciples that he knows. And there are two points here that I want to bring out, at least, and maybe more. The first point is the Lord Jesus Christ, his person, his knowledge. He knows the future. He knows the man who is going to betray him. He knows all about it. And he can say so. And he says so explicitly. I tell you, this is the truth now. I'm telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. The point that Jesus is making here, and I'm trying to underline, is this. That the Lord Jesus Christ has this intimate knowledge, this definite, clear knowledge of the future event, of his betrayal, and by whom, how it will happen, and so on. And he is making this clear so that we can have the confidence and the confirmation of the glory of his person. What man can do this? I'm telling you this now. So that when you're passing through this experience and when you look back, it'll all be confirming to you that I am he. And that in itself is a most telling set of words. I am he. He is claiming to be God, Emmanuel, Christ, Messiah. All that he has claimed in the previous chapters. All that he has said in the past. All that he claims to be. The great prophet that Moses predicted. The Lamb of God. Emmanuel, God with us. The way, the truth, the life. I am he. This is surely, believer, for our comfort and for our confirmation. We remember John's purpose in writing this gospel. Chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. I'm telling you this so that you might believe, so that you might go on believing. Be confirmed that Christ truly is all that he claimed to be. It's confirming to us, brother. It's confirming to us, sister. It's encouraging to us. Our Savior is this Messiah. He knows our affairs, our small dealings, our small circumstances. I know. I can tell you now before it happens. But it's also very challenging. I hope convicting. I hope converting to the sinner. Is there any unbeliever listening to me? You have to face this man. He knows all about you. He knew Judas through and through. There's Judas eating bread with him, sitting there looking like one of the disciples, looking like an apostle. But Jesus knows that he is not truly one. We should come to it. But in verse 21, I tell you the truth. One of you is going to betray me. And then again in verse 27, Satan entered into Judas. But Jesus can say to him, what you are about to do. Satan was in it, but Judas was responsible. What am I saying to you, unbeliever? Here is Judas looking like a believer, acting like an apostle. But he's just a mere professor. He's not truly one of them. And Jesus knows it. Satan's involved, but the man is responsible. It's convicting. I hope it's converting to the sinner. Don't pretend with Jesus. You may fool believers around you, but you cannot fool the Christ. I'm telling you this, he says, I know this, that you may believe that I am he. This is the judge you will have to face. This is not the first time he has said it. Chapter 6, verses 70 to 71. Judas has been warned again and again. He's being warned here. Certainly you are warned. But still Judas goes into damnation. So it's confirming and comforting for the saints, Jesus knowing. And it's convicting and, I hope, converting to the sinner. But there's a second point here, and that is the place of prophecy. In a sense, Jesus is prophesying. He's acting as a prophet here. But it comes to this also, the scripture. Verse 18, this is to fulfill the scripture. And Christ quotes Psalm 41, verse 9. David literally had it. One of his friends did betray him. Now Jesus is going to literally have it. And of course, Psalm 41, verse 9, is not only a historical record of David's experience, it's a prophetic statement, promise, prediction, that Christ himself will be betrayed by one who was very close to him. So Christ telling us this, Christ as the prophet, is confirming to us as saints, and convicting and converting to sinners, I hope. But the prophecy of Scripture, the power of prophecy of Scripture, the prophetic Scriptures, the fulfillment of those Scriptures, that too has to be faced by the unbeliever. It is confirming, it is comforting, it is encouraging in the most deep and precious way for us as believers. Surely, brother and sister, we read our Bibles with the assurance and the confidence that this is the Word of God. These prophetic Scriptures confirm it. Surely, unbeliever, it must speak to you. These scriptures are warning you of a coming day of judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, as Psalm 41 verse 9 was fulfilled. And many, many other prophecies as well, of course. So that prophecy will be fulfilled. The lesson is plain. Don't fool. Don't play around. Don't try to pretend with God. Don't try to hide from God. Don't try to pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't. Come clean with God. Now confess your sins. Own your sins. Look to Jesus to wash you from your sins in his precious blood. You can say, can't you? Thou, God, seest me. That's what we read in the Old Testament. Thou, God, seest me. And that's true today. God does see us through and through. And the scriptures will be fulfilled, are being fulfilled. Comfort and conviction, confirmation and converting power. May it be so. But Judas was a lookalike. He wasn't the real, genuine article. And I'll close with a hymn by William Gadsby on this very subject. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, Art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian? Let me repeat that. Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood. Have I union with the church's living head? Am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer, trusting wholly to his merit, casting on him all my care, daily panting in his likeness to appear. If my hope on Christ is stayed, let him come when he thinks best. O my soul, be not dismayed. Lean upon his loving breast. He will cheer thee with the smilings of his face. But if still a total stranger to his precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. The lesson is plain to me. O God, make me a real Christian. Make that your prayer. Trust in the Savior. Look to Jesus. Be a real Christian. The Scriptures, Christ, will be against you if you are not. But if you are in him, in Christ, Christ himself and his word are all for you. All for you.